Okay, Zot the Gemara Daf Mem Base Ahmed Aleph, the very top line. Rav Huna Ochal Tlesar Rifti. He ate 13 Rifti. What's Rifti?
Bread.
13 breads. Bnei Tlosa Tlosa Bekaba. And they were, each one was 3 to the kav. Or 3 kav. Says Rashi, or says the Gemara, V'loi birech, and he didn't make a bracha. What does that mean, he didn't make a bracha? Says Rashi, Rav Huna ochal tlei sarifti mipas habo'o bekisnin. This bread, it wasn't regular bread, it was bread which is pas habo'o bekisnin, which, by the way, we have never really defined. There was a Rashi on the previous Amud, which Be'ez Hashem will come back to, and there's a Tosfos there, which we also have to discuss, but it's certainly not bread. It might be cake-type material or the like, but it's not absolute bread. So he had a number of them. V'loi birech acharov. Rashi adds the words acharov. The Gemara just says v'loi birech, he didn't make a brocha. He did not make a brocha afterwards. What does that mean, he didn't make a brocha? He didn't bake a bet. He didn't say birkas hamazon. Says the Gemara, Omalei Rav Nachman Adi. Rashi says, Eilu. These, kafna. Kafna means, from the word hunger or hungry. Says Rashi, Eilu, kloimar. Eilu, l'ra'ovoin, ne'echlu. These are eaten, re'ovoin, from the word ra'ov, hungry. These are eaten when a person is hungry. Va'achila maruba kazu, and a large-sized eating kazu such as this, loy nifteres, will not be exempted mibracha, from a bracha. You've eaten a large amount out of hunger, which means they fill you up, so therefore it cannot be that you'd be exempted from a bracha. Again, when we say from a bracha, it means brachas hamazon. Rather what? So let's just go back into the Gemara a moment. Ela, kol sha'achirim koivim olov su'uda. In the event that others are koivea su'uda over them, tzorich levorech, one would indeed have to be mevorech birchas hamazon. Meaning, because this is the type of food and the type of amount where people are Kaveya Suda. What does that mean, a Kaveya Suda? So we once defined it as, is it the type of food that you just eat as a snack? Or is it the type of food that you could well sit down and mean Kaveya Suda over? Nobody, for example, would have a little wafer as a meal. We could all understand that's a snack. If you have now 5 pieces of cake, is that a snack or a meal? Could in theory discuss, or crackers. If you have a number of crackers, that might constitute a meal, etc., etc. So we always have to work out, is it being eaten as a snack or as a proper kvias suda? Either way, kol sha'achirim koivim olov suda, tzorech levorech. Let's look back in Rashi immediately. Kloima, elu l'ra'ovoin nechru. These are eaten out of hunger. Va'achila meruba kazu. And a large eating such as this, loy nifteres mibrocha, would not be exempted from a brocha. Elo rather, kol sha'achirim koivim achiloson bekach, comma, wherever others are bikoveh, would establish their eating, would establish their suda bekach as this, ta'un, it requires birkas hamazon. Says Rashi, Kach Pirish Rav Hai. Period. This is the way Rav Hai explains the Gemara. Who is Rav Hai? We know Rav Hai was one of the Goinim. Who are the Goinim? The Goinim were after the period of the Amoraim, after the Gemara. But they were in fact before the early Rishonim. There was actually something else called the Savroim, but either way, there was the Tanoim and there's the Amoroim. And then, right, there you have it, Svoroim. But then you have the Ge'oinim. So there was a period of Ge'oinim. And then the Rishonim and the Achreinim. Now, it's very fascinating. Some of the Ge'oinim are very familiar to us. We've all heard, for example, of, who are the famous Ge'oinim that you might have heard of? Rav Sadia Ge'oin. Rav Hai Ge'oin. Now, Rav Hai Ge'oin is an interesting name. Do you know what the word Hai means? Hai means this. Was that really his name? His name was Rabbi This. That's what Hai means. So I once saw explained that indeed he was, I think maybe the last of the Goyim, but he was such a prestigious, high caliber Goyim, so that they pointed to him as it were, as if to say, you know, this is your classic Goyim. This is the Goyim. That's why they call him Rav Hai Goyim. Either way, Rashi is now quoting Rav Hai. So Rav Hai has told us that this is the Pshat in the Gemara, that what? You've got to bench because others are kaveya asuda over this. Says Rashi, V'raboiseinu pirshu, our Rebbes have explained, Tlesa rifti mipas shelonu, underline. They explain the Gemara as he ate 13 breads. What type of bread? Our bread. Shalanu, not pasabor bekisnin. Remember, the Gemara does not stress, does not describe at all what type of bread are we tooling about. It just says rifta. Rifta is bread. Rashi said, and this was the name of Rav Haigoin, that what type of bread are we dealing with? We're talking about pas habo'o bekisnin. But Rashi says that my Rebbeim learned that what type of pas we're talking about? Regular, normal pas, our pas. So how can that be? V'raboiseinu pirshu tleisa rifti mipas shelonu, 13 pieces of bread, our bread, v'loi bireich acharov. Now how on earth can that be? So how can it be that he didn't make a bracha afterwards? Mishum deloi sova, not deloi sheva, deloi sova.
Why does it help to say it's regular bread?
It's a chiddush. Let's see. He explained that despite the fact, not that it helps, it's a chiddush. Despite the fact that the story was he actually ate regular bread, he still did not say Birkas HaMazon. Why? Because he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satiated. They were very small pieces of bread. Tlosa bakaba. Three to the kav. So what if you're not satiated? The kroksiv. And at the end of the day, the posuk writes, v'ochalto, v'savato, uberachto. Quite clearly in the posuk, you eat, you're satisfied, and you make a bracha. V'kach pirish Rav Yehudoi bahag. So we have a big machlokes rishonim over here, between Rav Haigoin on the one hand, and Rav Yehudoi bahag, that's the Baal Halachos Gedolos. The Gemara at the end of the day says rifta. Now it's true, rifti, literally translated, means bread. However, the first pshat in Rashi, Rav Hai says it doesn't mean bread, even though that's the literal translation. Rather, what does it mean? What type of pas? Pas abor bekisnin. So it's not real bread. The second pshat is of the bahag, it's real bread. How can that be? If it's real bread, how on earth could you justify not making a bracha? Birkas HaMazon. The answer is because you wasn't satisfied. So according to the first pshat, how do we learn the Gemara? He never made a bracha Birkas HaMazon. Why? According to the first pshat, why did he not make a bracha? Because it wasn't bread. And what did the Gemara turn around? That Rav Nachman claimed that you're wrong. Why are you wrong? Because even though it's not bread, but at the end of the day, it's a type of food that people are koveya suda on. Okay, so we understand the Hava Amina, and we understand the Maskana. The Hava Amina was, there's no need to make Birkas HaMazon. Why? Because it's not bread. Here we're being told a tremendous chiddush. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, people are normally kaveh suda. But according to the Bahag, that's not the issue. Because according to the Bahag, it is real bread. No question about it. So why did he not say Birkas HaMazon? Because he wasn't seveya, he wasn't satisfied. So according to that, what was the Gemara's retort? You're right, you're not satisfied, but nonetheless, you still take Birkas HaMazon because others are kaveh suda over this amount. But Rashi says, I'm sorry, I do not hold to this whole approach. Ve'einoi nire li. This approach does not appear to me, and I'm going with the first pshat, which is, it's not talking about pas, it's talking about pas habor b'kisli. Why? So here, we have to know a Gemara. This Gemara is in Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is actually in the next parak. But the Gemara famously says there that it's true. It does say that min ha-toiro, how much does one have to eat in order to be mechuyav Birkas HaMazon? Kedei sevia. That's min ha-toiro. But Chazal came along and they were machmir and they said that what? Even if you eat less than that, how much?
Kedayas
or kerbeitza. You still have to bench. Midrabonon. 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 And we never found anybody there who disputes that. So therefore, how can that be pshat in our Gemara? How can the Gemara say that he never said Birkas HaMazon? Why? Because he wasn't satisfied. That might be a good reason to exempt him min ha-toira. Because it says v'chalta v'savota. But midrabonon! Who in the world disagrees with that? Says Rashi, Veino nireli, de les lei. This is rhetorical. De les lei le Rav Huna. Does Rav Huna not hold of the following line? Veheim hechmiru ad atzmon ad kezayis or ad kebeitza? De loike Rabbi Meir or de loike Rabbi Yehuda? Question mark. Who's Rabbi Meir and who's Rabbi Yehuda? There is a machloikas there. Is it kebeitza or is it kezayis? Fine. That's true that there is that machloikas. But there is no machloikas whether there exists the concept of Birkas HaMazon midrabanan. The only shaila is, how much does it have to be? Is it a kibetz or is it a kazais? But everybody agrees that you do not have to eat all the way till you are satisfied in order to be mechuyev to bench at least midrabanan. So here we have two Tanoim, Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, and Mefurash HaMishnah. The Gemara in Daf Chof Amud Beis, it's a mission of later on in Mem Tes. But the Gemara says Mufurash that it's a beautiful piece of Gemara. It's worth seeing. Have a look at Daf Chof Amud Beis. Let's go all the way back. Daf Chof Amud Beis. It's about. It's the piece just before the Mishnah. Yep. The piece just before the Mishnah towards the bottom. Dorash Rav Arvira Zimnin. Omalo Mishmei Derav Ami Vezimnin Omalo Mishmei Derav Asi. So Dorash Rav Arvira. Rav Arvira said the following. Zimnin, there were occasions where he said it in the name of Rav Ami. For Zimnin, there were occasions where he said it in the name of Rav Asi. Omru malachei hashoreis lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is negeh for you, Ramesh Azarek, every day of your life. The malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribayne Shalayla, Kosev b'teirascha, it's written in your Torah, Asher lo yisoponim v'lo yikach sheichat. Now what does it mean, Asher lo yisoponim? You won't favor anybody. That's what it describes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Pashas Ekev, I believe. Asher lo yisoponim. You will not, as it were, lift your face. You will not favor anybody. And yet, v'haloi aton noisei ponim li Yisrael. And yet you jolly well do favor Klal Yisrael. Dichsev, in Birkas Koyanim, Yisor Hashem ponov elecha. Hashem should show you favor. And yet there's another pasuk that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not favor anybody. So the Malachim complained, or at least they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a contradiction in the Torah. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself, Kav Yochel, as not favoring anybody. And yet in Birkas Kohenim, the Kohenim give us a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should favor us. So what's going on? Omalohem. So he said to them, he responded and he said, V'chi loy esoponim le Yisrael? Should I not show favor to Klal Yisrael? Shekosavti lohem b'Torah. I wrote for them in the Torah, V'ochalto, v'savato, uvirachto es Hashem alekecho. So I told them that what? That they only have to say Birkas Hamazon when you're satiated, and guess what they do? V'heim medaktikim al atzmo. And yet they are medaktik, they are very particular, they're machmir, ad kazayis v'ad kibetzel. So if they, as it were, have gone the extra mile, how have they gone the extra mile? Because min ha-Torah, they are not mukhuyev to bench at all. Only when you get to a stage of the Savata. And yet they do, even at a lesser amount. What lesser amount? Either a Kazayas, a Kebetzel. So if they go that extra mile, so I must too go that extra mile as well. And that's why I favor them. Now, this is not our subject. We once discussed this actually in the Parashat Shir many, many, many years ago. The whole Gemara is obviously extremely troubling, very, very puzzling. It's almost impossible to understand from the beginning to the end. Firstly, how does that justify HaKadosh Baruch Hu favoring Klal Yisrael? Fine, they were machmi, very nice. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo yis upon him. He doesn't favor anybody. So how does that answer the question? It's like going up to the judge and said, I don't understand. I thought you're not allowed to take a bribe. But you did take a bribe from him. Yeah, I know, because he's a good friend of mine. That's different. How does that answer the question? You're not allowed to take a bribe. That's exactly what it says over here. Hashem doesn't take a bribe, lo yis upon him, doesn't show favoritism. Yeah, but you do to Klal Yisrael, yeah, but there you go the extra mile as well. How does that answer the question? Second question is, even if it is a zechus, which for some reason justifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing them favoritism, this is the only example in the whole Torah of Klal Yisrael being machmir. There's 10 trillion examples of drabonons. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, I told them they only mustn't eat milk with meat of an animal, and they are machmir not to eat milk even with meat of a bird? Why isn't it saying, I told them you're allowed to move a pen on Shabbos, and they machmir called muktzah, and they do. I told them they don't have to light Hanukkah candles, and they were machmir, they were... Okay, maybe that's not a chumrah, but... There's millions of cases of chumras. Klal Yisrael, the whole of Torah of Shabbal Peh is based on Dini Drabonon. Where the Torah says one thing and we're machmeh. We go the extra mile. So why is this now the only example that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could muster up, which was Birkas HaMazon, punkt. There is another dikduk loshen. The Chassam Sofer in a tshuva asks this question. The Lashon of the Gemara, ad kazayis v'ad kebetzel, those last words in the Mishnah, shouldn't have been switched around? Which is bigger, a beitzah or a zayis? A beitzah. So if you want to emphasize how much Klal Yisrael are tremendously machme in the big tzidkus, what would you say? Ad kazayis v'ad kebetzel or ad kebetzel v'ad kazayis? L'chayra, you should first say ad kebetzel. Remember, how much do you have to eat in order to be mechuyev in HaTorah? A whole huge amount, all the way out Sevir. So if you now want to get less than that, what would you say? They say that even if you eat less, even at kebetzel, push it further, even at kazayis, that's much less. But the other way around doesn't make sense. At kazayis, at kebetzel, that's bigger. It's more of a chiddush if they machmir with a zayis than a beitzah, so it should say the other way around. They machmir all the way to a beitzah. In fact, they go even further than that, all the way to a zayis. These are all famous questions on the Gemara. There's also some Sefer in the Tshuva which discusses it. It's not really our subject at the moment. But either way, back to our Gemara in Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. This is what Rashi is quoting. So look again at those last four lines of Rashi. Ve'inoi nirali, says Rashi. This would not appear to me be correct. Why not? Deles le'le Rav Huna. Does Rav Huna not hold of the phrase that we just saw in that Gemara in Daf Chof? Ve'heim hichmiru al atzmon ad kezayis v'ad kebeitza? What? De loiker of Meir or de loiker of Yehuda? How can that be? How can you possibly suggest that Rav Huna, who is an Amoira, would eat bread, albeit he wasn't satiated, and as a result decide that he's not Mukhayev to bench? How could that possibly be? I'm sorry to tell you, he's arguing with all the Tanoim, because the Tanoim said that even though you're not Mukhayev to bench when Atayrah, but you are Mukhayev to bench Midrabbonon, so why would you not bench? Therefore, on that basis, Rashi rejects that pshat, and it cannot be that's why he didn't bench. So therefore, we have no other choice but to conclude that what is the case of our Gemara then? It's not bread. It says no more rifti. It's type of bread. It's pas habor bekistin. In other words, we really, at first glance, do understand very well why the Bahag wanted to learn that we're talking about pas, because ultimately that's what it says in the Gemara. It says rifti. That is a simple translation of the Gemara. Yet Rashi says, I'm sorry to tell you, that pshat is unacceptable, because nobody in the world holds you don't make Birkas HaMazon. It's true, but I tell you not chayav, you certainly are midrabbonon. Therefore, the sugya is not talking about, and the sugya is talking about pas habor bekistin. Fine. Says the Gemara. Fourth line. Again, Emitz Hashem, we will see. Further, we'll see the Rishonim, and then Beis Hashem, we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see how this translates halacha l'maisa. Zad Gemara, Rav Yehuda, hava osik lei librei. He was being oisik. What does it mean he was being oisik? He was busy for his son. Doesn't say what he was doing for his son. Maybe Siddur's Mitzvah. Bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, in the house of Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva. Aisu lekamayhu, they brought in front of them pas habo'o bekistin. So here it's clearly talking about pas habo'o bekistin. And that's what was brought in front of them. Ki osa, when he came to present it, shaminu, they overheard the kamavarchi hamoitzi. So now, until now, we were talking about what? Which after bracha. Now we're talking about which first bracha. And he heard them say what? He heard them making a bracha of hamoitzi. Omalohu. So he said to them, who's he? Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva, he was the host, said to them, my tzitzi. What does tzitzi mean?
Chamotzi.
The sound?
Chamotzi. That's chamotzi. This is mitzi.
I'm not sure what translation of the word tzitzi is. You saw that somewhere that means sound?
Yeah, like what's the sound that I heard?
Okay. My tzitzi, it makes sense. My tzitzi, the koshomano. What is this sound that I've heard? Dilma hamoitzi lechem min haaretz. Komavarchitu? Is that what you are making a bracha? Did I hear correctly? What's this sound? Did I hear you saying hamoitzi lechem min haaretz on pas habo'o bekistin? Omri lei, they said to him one word. In, yes. Absolutely, yes. Titania, for we have learned in a braisa, Rav Muna Oma Mishom Rav Yehuda. Rav Muna said in the name of Rav Yehuda, pas habo'o bekisnin mevorchin oleo hamoitzi. So yes, you seem very surprised that you might have heard from me the bracha of hamoitzi. Absolutely true. It was hamoitzi. Why on earth did I say bracha of hamoitzi? Because Rav Muna told us that is the correct bracha to make. Va'omar Shmuel, and Shmuel, this is part of his answer, said, Halacha Kerbi Muna. So therefore, if Rav Muna told us the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that you say, Amoitzi over Pasabo Bekisnin, and Shmuel confirmed that that is exactly the Halacha, so that's why I made Amoitzi. So why are you so surprised? Omar Lohu, so they said back to them, he said back to them, I'm sorry to tell you, Ein Halacha Kerbi Muna. That's why I'm so surprised. I might well know the whole background that there was Rav Muna, there was Shmuel, but I'm sorry, in fact, the halacha is not like Rav Muna, and we hold that there is no Hamoitzi Lechem in Haaretz on Pasavon Bekistin. And that's why I was expressing my surprise. What's this that I heard? Did I hear that possibly you made Hamoitzi Lechem in Haaretz? How could that be? Oh, because you hold like Rav Muna. I'm sorry to tell you, the halacha is not like Rav Muna. Itma. So we have learned. Omri lei. They said to him, "What's going on?" V'homar hu da'oma mishmei de Shmuel. But it is the master. In other words, you yourself said in the name of Shmuel, whom you're now telling me we don't paskin like, but you yourself said in the name of Shmuel. Lachmaniyos, what's lachmaniyos? So in modern Hebrew, lachmaniyot is rolls. Rashi, Rav Nachum, what's your ancient French like? Modern French is better by you, huh? Classic French. Rashi says lachmaniyos, ubliash. What's ubliash, Ramesh Azalik? So you're fluent in French?
Kikin Dakos.
Your wife is? She speaks French? Should have asked her then. How does she normally translate ubliash in Rashi? Rakikin. Some sort of thin bread. Shmuel said, and this Amoira, Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva himself quoted Rav Shmuel on this, Lachmanios ma'aravin bohen. One can make an Erev using them. We know we make an Erev over bread. This constitutes bread. But more importantly, b'negia to our sugya, Umavarchin Alehen Hamoitzi. So how can you tell me that what? That we don't paskin like Muna, even though Shmuel said that we jolly well do paskin like Rav Muna. How can you say that we don't? But you yourself quoted in the name of Shmuel that Lachmanios, which he's assuming is also Pasaboba Kisnin, constitutes bread. Lekol Din or Lekol Dovah. With regard to Erevin, with regard to Brochus. So what's going on? I can't really understand. Do you paskin like Shmuel and Rav Muna, or you don't? Make up your mind. So he said, no, Shani Hossam. There's different. Dekova Seudosi Olaihu. Over there, what's there? On these Lachmanios, one is Kevea Asuda over them. So even though technically they're not real bread, they're Pasabob Bekistin, again, we will Be'ez Hashem have to define this. But the norm is, one is Kovea Suda over them. If you Kovea Suda over them, then has the status of bread. Therefore, you can make an error of using them. You say, Amoitzi, Avol Heicha Deloi Kova Suda Seo Alayhu. But where one was not be Kovea Suda over them, as is the case of a regular Pasabob Bekistin, then, loy, they're not. So we seem to have a very big machlokes, and you probably all noticed, when the Gemara says, Ein halacha k'rav muna, do you see a little base there? So again, even without looking it up, that's what's so helpful about these letters. At least you have already an indication, that's what we paskin, which is the truth is, I think we all know that anyway. Pasabob Bekistin, whatever type of cake it may be, we do not make a bracha of a hamoitzi. There are exceptions, by the way. So here we're being taught a very, very important rule. That if indeed your keveya, your su'uda over the pasabob kisnin, then you jolly well would make hamoitzi. And it adopts the status of bread with regard to all areas of halacha. The only reason why he initially said that one does not make hamoitzi is because you're not keveya su'uda. But if you are, then it has the status of bread. Now, have a look immediately at Tosfos, Lachmanius. Says Tosfos, Lachmanius, Pirish Rashi, Ubliash. V'loi Nehiru. It doesn't appear to me to be correct.
It's French.
Dim Kane, Afilu Loi Kova Nami. What's the base there? The Bach adds in the word Tzorich Levare. He says, I'm sorry to tell you, it does not appear to me to be correct. If Rashi's translation is accurate, we're talking about Ubliash. Now what? Says Tosfos, it doesn't make any sense, because then, even if you're not Koveya Suda over them, in other words, generally, still you'd have to make Hamoitzi Shaharei Hu Lechem Gomur. Imagine you have fully fledged bread. No discussion about it, classic bread. Then we know you have to bench under all circumstances. Doesn't matter whether you're Koveya Suda or not. This whole factor about being Koveya Suda only comes into play when you're dealing with something which is not real bread, like Pasabal B'Kisnin. So essentially it's not bread. So then we say if you're Koveya Suda over them, it becomes, we treat it as bread. But if it is real bread, even if you're not Koveya Suda, then you have to make a Moitzi. Says Tosfos, these Ubliash that Rashi quotes are absolute lechem. Why? Sharei Soifo Iso. What does that mean, Sharei Soifo Iso? The Bach adds a word there, Sharei Tchilosoi V'Soifo Iso, which is a whole big discussion in itself, a very, 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 very important discussion, as you can imagine, in particular with regard to Hilchas Challah. What is the definition of bread? And this, by the way, is very much in Yona D'Yoma. Why is it in Yona D'Yoma? It's complicated halachic questions with regard to donuts on Purim. Why are they not bread? Are they bread?
Hanukkah.
Bagels. Right, come to Hanukkah. What did I say?
Purim.
Purim? Hanukkah. When you come to Hanukkah and have your donuts, we have a similar question. You have certain types of bagels, also big shaila, because bagels are baked, but they're also cooked. Bagels are cooked. So if we have a lot of questions, what is the definition of bread? So we're not going to get involved, but either way, the bottom line is that Tosfos tells us that these ubliash that Rashi refers to are definitely bread. If they're definitely bread, why? Because they're proper Issa, they're real. What's Issa? They're real dough. So therefore, I can't understand, so it doesn't make any sense. How can you distinguish between whether you are Koveya Suda or you're not Koveya Suda? Who in the world cares? It's bread. And when you eat a slice of bread, obviously as long as it's more than a beitza or a kazayis, then you jolly well have to make Birkas HaMazon, whether Daraisa or Drabonon, but who cares with your Koveya Suda? But that can't be the discussion, says Tosfos. Therefore, v'nira lefarej dahainu nilish. I'm not sure how much that helps us. It's not ubliash, but rather it is nilish. So nilish, I don't know what it is, but I certainly know what it isn't. Nilish is obviously not real bread. If it's real bread, and that's Tosfos' question. So how can there be a discussion about whether you're kaveh suda or not kaveh suda? So what is it? Nilish is what? What isn't it and what is it? It's not bread. What is it? It's Pasabal B'Kisnin. Therefore, essentially, there is no Birkas HaMoitzi unless you're Koveya Suda. That's what Tosfos says. Miu ki kova su'udose olei. When, however, you are Koveya Suda over them, that's what our Gemara has been mechadish, then mevorich olav HaMoitzi k'moi v'purim. Just like on Purim, apparently they used to eat these types of, I don't know, homantashen? You know homantashen out?
Yes.
So maybe that's a nilish. Where they're not bread, but you're kaveya suda over them. Therefore, you'd make a moitzi, and that's the chiddush of our Gemara. However, interestingly, Miur Rabbeinu Shimshon Pirish, that no, de'en levorich olav a moitzi. Rabbeinu Shimshon says that one does not make a bracha over these nilish on Purim. Dava kemoi daisa. He maintains they're very porridge-like. So a bit vague, so it's not clear then how he explained the Gemara. But either way, so we have some sort of discussion which is all left a bit vague. Is it ubliash or is it nilish? But the bottom line is, it can't be absolute bread. Because if it is absolute bread, then we would never distinguish between whether you were Kiveya Suda or you're not Kiveya Suda. Either way, you'd have to say Brakas HaMozen for the simple reason that it's bread. We're clearly talking about something which is not bread, not real bread. Rather, it's Pasa Boba Kisnim, and that's why we say you only have to make, say Brakas HaMozen in the event that you are Kiveya Suda.
Can we define
our Pasa Boba Kisnim? Nope. I mean, we will, Be'ez Hashem.
No, I feel like I'm thinking of so many things every time we say it.
Right. And you're right to think of so many things because we're going to see that there are various factors, maybe three different factors, that come into play when we talk about Pasa Boba Kisnim. And La Halacha will see whether you require all three, or just one of those three, or two of the three. Is there a difference between whether it's grain-based? Is there a difference between whether it is crackly, hard, like a cracker, a matzah, as opposed to a piece of cake, which is not, I haven't got a better word for it, there must be a better word for it.
Soft.
Nilish. Lamed ches, nun toisvois.
Yep.
We had
Lamed ches, okay, I'm with you.
Marzutra.
Kovasu dose olayu v'chein nilish. Oh wow, well remembered. V'chein zeram v'purim. Right, very good. Okay. Yep. Wow, good memory. Shkoyach. Sal kaponim, yes, certainly we will discuss Pasa Boba Kisnim. We're going to come back shortly to the Rashi and the Tosis on Lamed, on Mem Aleph on Beis. We'll see maybe other Rishonim, and we'll try and work this out l'halacha. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara, I want to try and reach the Mishnah. The Gemara all the way to the Mishnah. It's not difficult, Gemara, this. Says the Gemara, Rav Papa Ikla Lebei Rav Huna. Rav Papa came to the house of Rav Huna, braid Rav Nosson, the son of Rav Nosson. Bosar de Gomar Suudosayu, after they finished their meal, Aisu Lakamayu, they brought in front of them Midi Lemechel. They brought in front of them something to eat. They finished the meal. But then they brought them something in addition. Shokal Rav Papa Vakaochil. So Rav Papa took it and was more than happy to eat it. Thank you for this addition. Omri le, so they said to him, Loi sovalo mar, do you not hold, does the master not hold of the following quote? Three words, gomar osur milechol question mark. You've been goymer. And if you've been goymer, what does it mean you've been goymer? It says quite clearly the story was, gomar sudasa, they finished the meal, and after they're not allowed to eat anymore. Why not? Why would you not be allowed to eat, says Rashi? Until you've said Birkas HaMozen, and then after that, and then you'd have to make another bracha over that which was brought in front of you, dekiven de gomar, comma, seeing as you had completed your meal, asich daite, you are masiach das, mi bracha rishoino, from the first bracha, umisudose, and from the meal. Ibi masiach das. This is the classic point that we've mentioned many, many times in Hilchas Brachas. The famous rule that once you be masiach das, therefore the first bracha no longer is valid. It, as it were, has run out. Its effectiveness has run out. So once you've been geimer the suda, then you be masiach das. What would you have to do? You have to bench, obviously, but they have to begin all over again. So why did you eat? What's going on? So Rav Papa responded and he said that no. Omar Lahu, he answered back, Saleik Itmar. Your version was Gomar, they finished. My version was Saleik. What does Saleik mean?
Removed.
It was removed. What does it mean, removed? Says Rashi. Saleik Itmar. Silek halechem, or not salek, rather silek. Im silek halechem, if they actually remove the bread, v'kol ha'oichel, and all of the food me'al hashulchan from on top of the table, v'adayin loy birchu, and they still hadn't said birchas hamazon, then yes, that's when I admit that osalechel. But the mere fact that they had stopped eating is not called Hesachadas as long as the bread and the food is in front of you. So if you want to know how was it that I permitted myself to eat this food, the answer is... You learned Gomar, I learned Silik. And the story in this particular episode was that it wasn't Silik, they hadn't removed the food. So even though technically we'd finished eating, but it's not considered hasachadas, the food is still there in front of you. Itma, we have learned another story. Rava v'Rav Zeira, iklu lebei reish gelusa. Rava and Rav Zeira came to the house of the reish gelusa. What does it mean, the reish gelusa?
The head of the
town. Head of the gals.
Correct, the head of the Golos. Le Bosar de Saliku Taka. What's Taka? Table. After they removed the table, Mikamayu, from a fountain. Remember, you mentioned this last week. The mimic was, they didn't have a large table such as we did. Each person had, as it were, their own mini table. After they removed the table from in front of them, Shodri Lehu Ristana. They send them Ristana, which Rashi says is Amnish Trar Shivan. Know your wife has a recipe for that? Amnish Trar Shivan delights. Mibei Reish Galusa. So they had finished eating, but not only had they finished eating, they actually moved the table. Suddenly this food arrives from the Mibei Reish Galusa. So who is there at the meal? As we said, Rava and Rav Zeira. Rava Ochil, he did eat. V'Rav Zeira Loyoch. Now L'chaira, this is very difficult to understand. Why? Because Beishtem in the last story, where we spoke about finishing the meal or removing, fine. But here, not only have they finished, not only have they removed the food, they removed the whole table. So L'chaira, what would we say? Ein L'cha Hesach Hadas G'dayla Mizu. You can't have a more of a Hesach Hadas, you start packing away the tables. So I understand that Rav Zeira didn't eat. But why on earth did Rav eat? What's going on? Omar Lei. So they said to Rav, Loi Sovar Lo Mar. Does Mar not hold that Silek Osir Milechoil? Question mark. You might not agree that Gomar Osir Lechoil, but surely you would have to agree that Silek Osir Lechoil. And they've removed the food. In fact, they removed the whole table. Omalei, so he answered back that no. Anan, we as guests, ataka de reish gelusa samchinon. We're relying on his table. It doesn't really matter what we do to our table. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Ataka de reish gelusa samchinon. Ve'ein silukteinu, our removing is not a siluk. Why? Shada'ateinu, because our das is the im yisa Masois me'es ponov. Our das was, what does masois mean? We have this in next week's parasha. Gifts. It says that Yosef gave gifts to Binyamin. If gifts will arrive me'es ponov, from in front of the host, the Reish Galusa, Eleinu comes to us, noichal, we will eat. Therefore what? It's not really a siluk, because we are not really the boss over here, we're just the guests. Who is the boss? The Barabbas is the Reish Galusa. So therefore, as long as he's still planning on bringing more food, obviously, as guests of his, we're not pulling the strings over here. If I'm in my own house, so I decide when the end of the meal is. So once I've removed the table or the food, that clearly is a hesach hadas. If I now change my mind and I decide to eat something else, sorry, there's been a hesach hadas, you have to make a new bracha. But over here, the fact that we remove the table, that's not called a siluk. Our siluk is not a siluk. Why? Because we definitely had in mind that if the Balabais would suddenly bring some more food, well, we're going to say to him, no, sorry, we don't want to eat your food anymore. Obviously not. Therefore, there's no Esach Hadas. In other words, the whole removing of the table or the food, it's just all a question of Esach Hadas. There's nothing magic about table removing. So if I can conjure up a scenario in which you remove the table but there's no Esach Hadas, then obviously you'd eat. Says Rava, as far as I was concerned, that's exactly what happened over here. And again, we'll see this in Halacha, but you can see a little hay there. Next, the words Anana Takadarish Kalusa Samchinon. So clearly, we pass in this Halacha. Again, how this translates into modern day Halacha Lemaisa, Tosis actually discusses it. Because Laloch HaLamayisa, we don't remove any table. If you remember, we saw this on the previous Gemara, and we saw it in Shulchan Aruch, about being Moishech Yodehen Min HaPas. Remember the way Tosis learned the Gemara, Dvar Maboyim, Shalei Machmas Asuda, Achar Asuda. What does Achar Asuda mean? After the Suda. And Tosis says, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way, that our minig is that no such concept exists. There's no such thing as achasu. As long as you haven't benched, you're always in the suda. So whether this halacha makes it into the Shulchan Aruch, we'll have to see. Especially as we don't remove tables. Okay, let's try and make a push. 2 or 3 more minutes. It's easy Gemara. Let's try and reach all the way to the Mishnah then. I know we have a number of Tosas, 1, 2, 3, 4 Tosas him to do, but I think we should just try and finish the Mishnah. To the Mishnah. Omar Rav, Harogil B'Shemen, Shemen Ma'akvoy. What does that mean? If somebody regularly eats oil, Shemen Ma'akvoy, says Rashi.
Washes with oil.
Oh, horogil b'shemen. Rashi says not to eat it. We had early on in the perek, you can't eat shemen; it's dangerous. Limshoyach yodov acharachila. Normally, if you have that custom, that what does it mean? Limshoyach yodov. You would lather your hands in oil as a form of cleaning your hands at the end of the meal. If that's what you regularly do, then what? Then shemen ma'akvoy. What does that mean? Shemen ma'akvoy.
Shemen prevents you from eating further after.
Right, then that becomes the cutoff point. Le'inyan bracha, sha'afilu gomar vasilik. Even if you have not only finished eating, but you've even now gone the next stage, which is removing the table. But as long as v'loy moshach yodov, if you have not yet cleaned your hands in the oil, adayim su'uda kayemes. And the Suda is still very much in existence for Eichel B'lei Bracha. So in other words, again, all of these stages were all just trying to work out one thing and one thing only. What is that? Hesach Hadas. So if, as far as you're concerned, that is the absolute final part, and when you're about to bench, you wash your hands in oil, as long as you haven't done that, clearly you're still planning on eating, or at least giving yourself the possibility of eating. Under those circumstances, there's clearly no Hesach Hadas. Omer Ravashi, Sir Ravashi says, Ki havinon be Rav Kahana. He says, when we were in the house of Rav Kahana, Omar Loni said to us, Kgoin anon. He says, for example, we do that. Deregilinon b'mishcha. We regularly smear this oil on, and therefore mishcha ma'akvalon. Therefore the mishcha is ma'akev. What does it mean ma'akev? It keeps the suda going. So he said, fine, but v'les hilchasa kechol hani shmaitza. But the halacha is not like any of the above. We've seen how many criteria, possibilities, three. Gomar, Silek, Mishcha. Right? Three different possibilities. Either you finished eating, or you remove the food on the table, or you smear the oil. So each one had his particular version of what would you say constitutes the official end of the meal. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, we don't hold like any of those. None of those are halacha lemaisa. Why? Hello, rather, this is the halacha. Ki hod omar Rav Chiya ba'ashi, omar Rav. Rav Chiya ba'ashi taught us in the name of Rav, Shaloish tekifos hein. What does tekifos mean? Takef means? Immediately. There are three cases of immediately. Takef, lesmicha, shchita. Takef, legeula, tfila. Takef l'natilas yodayim bracha. We know there is a mitzvah in our Torah of smicha. Smicha is you place your hands and you lean your whole weight on the animal. We're talking about korbanos. The halacha is that has to be done immediately prior to shchita. That's what it means, takef, immediately. You don't do the smicha in the morning and say, I'll come back and do my shchita in the afternoon. It has to be takef. That's one example. Next example is Geula L'Tfila. Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael. Goel Yisrael. And then you immediately start Shmoneh Esrei with no break. The third one, that's what's relevant to us, is another takeif. And that is, when you do Netilas Yodayim, which Netilas Yodayim? So Machlokes Rishonim, but Pashas is going on the Bracha, on the Mayim Achreinim. Immediately after that, without any further delay, is the Birkas HaMazon. Ah, if that's the final stage, then that would constitute Pesach Hadas. Why? Because it has to be done with takeif. It has to be done takeif, and therefore, if it has to be done takeif, so you know, once you've done the Mayim Achreinim, the next stage is benching. That, therefore, is the point of no return. That's the end of the meal. And that's what the Gemara says, if we don't paskin, it's not toilon when you finish eating, or when you remove the table, or when you do the oil. It depends on that very final stage, which is Mayim Achreinim. Says Rashi, V'les hilchasa kakol hanishmaitse. Ein siyum su'uda tolui. The end of the meal is not dependent. Loi begmar, v'loi besiluk, v'loi beshemen. 1, 2, and 3. Not on finishing eating, removing the table, on the oil. Ela b'mayim achreinim. Kolzman, sheloi notal mayim achreinim, hu muta lechoil. As long as you haven't washed Mayim Achreinim, you're allowed to eat. Umisha Notal. Once you have washed, then Oselechol. Lenatilas Yodayim de Mayim Achreinim. The Birkas HaMazon. That's what it means, takeif. There has to be a juxtapositioning of the Mayim Achreinim and Birkas HaMazon. Veloy Yechel Klum. One should not eat anything whatsoever. Ad Sheyevorech Al Mezoinoy. Until you've made a bracha, meaning Birkas HaMazon, on your food. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Omar Abaya Af Onu Noimar. We will also say, let's add now a fourth takeif. And that is, takeif l'talmidei chachomim bracha. There is a juxtapositioning of Talmidei Chachamim and Bracha, says Rashi. Take of the Talmidei Chachamim, Hamakrivoi Elov. If you draw near to him, Uma'arachoi Bebeisoi, and you host the Talmud Chacham, then you are guaranteeing that what are you bringing to yourself? Baracha Bebeisoi. No, we live in an age of skulois, everybody likes skulois. Here we have a Mefurisha Gemara. If you want to bring bracha to your bayis, you should be makariv and you should host Talmidei Chachamim in your house. How do I know? Shenema vayivorcheni Hashem biglolecha. Who said that? Lovon. Huh? Lovon says, I was benched biglolecha because of you. I had a Talmud Chacham Yaakovino in my house and look at the bracha it brought to me. Uy bois eima, some say, it wasn't referring to not Lovon. We have another source. Shenema vayivorech Hashem es beis hamitzri biglal Yosef. Who's the beis hamitzri?
Potiphar.
So all of a sudden Yosef arrives in his house, Talmud Chacham, and he brought bracha. So you see there's another takeif, there's another juxtapositioning. Bring a Talmud Chacham, guaranteed bracha. Okay, end of the sugya. So mitzvah Hashem on Tuesday morning, all being well, we will learn these four tosfim. In fact, there's then a fifth tosfus from Lachmanios onwards. In fact, Lachmanios we've learned. Sorry, starting from Salik, Silik Itma. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tosfusim, and then we will go back to that Rashi and the tosfus on Mem Aleph on a base which we never learned. El Pasa Bobakistan.